Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Welcome, keeping the ball on the ground. What's happening, lads? He's back.
Back.
Like, after his average performance, we put him back in.
Did you expect to get called back?
No.
No,
obviously it was a late...
Oh, you said that the other day, you deserved it back.
It was a late night call-up last night, wasn't it, for size, so... Thought,
how was the feeling when you got that call?
Proud, aye.
How was the day?
It was like when you get to Scotland. Remember the phones and that? That's what I felt. In the bed. I jumped out the bed. No.
No,
but
is your dad a fan of the show?
Aye, well.
Can he fight?
Can your dad fight?
Aye.
Can he?
Oh, aye.
Your dad that good enough?
I used to pick your dad with a taxi.
Who's?
His dad.
Mother?
No way.
Aye, Cotton Tillich.
Did you take him to where?
Just didn't he like the wee Saturday shift in the town, didn't he?
Aye, all the time. Vronies, something's
where, was it Loudon?
I don't know.
Vronies or something it's called? Vronies?
Aye, like
aye,
that's it, aye.
Like a wee tipple in there.
Aye, so.
Who was he meeting there? Walter?
John O'Shea.
Would you get John O'Shea?
Was he a nice guy?
Oh, lovely guy.
Did he tip you? Kev, Mason Boy. Did he tip you?
I know he did, aye.
Is he a good tipper, is he?
He was. Don't get me wrong, just a typical Dower footballer constantly rubbing about how good his boy was now.
Was he?
He must have been steaming, was he?
Fucking
talking about him, me and Walter Smith and that.
Aye, my boy Kev should be this, should be doing that. And I went, aye, probably right, you should be.
By the way, you're looking like a hipster now, didn't you, Kev?
No, I got this wee jumper sent to me off
spring. On the jet, on the jumper? Take the jet to school.
What's in the backpack?
What backpack?
You guys got a backpack, didn't it?
Oh, I don't know, mate.
Big
it must
man's
be
maybe his style's really improved, isn't it? It's a sign of confidence, big man.
No, it's not common.
Because I've laid after you for a while, do you know what I mean?
I'm scared to spend money. Since somebody says in a free jumper, I'll just wear it.
You know, I've got a wee tan in that as well. Fake tan?
Just a wee bit. The Avis is obviously saying he's got a wee outfit on here, so I'm a wee bit hot under the collar. Thinking.
What is that?
Stevie Frail.
Is that what he usually was?
Took me to the game. On his shoulders last night. Me and Stevie, he always looks at puts. He always looks at for me, Big Stevie. He really does. Do you know what I mean? Big Stevie, me and him travel everywhere with Scotland.
What would Stevie Freely Scotland game? He'd go full works, wouldn't he?
Puck a pie. No, did he puck a pie?
Puck a pie, sorry.
What am I? No, listen, what a job Stevie Freely's done, isn't he?
Oh, he's doing great.
Aye, brilliant.
This guy's even got his shift changed and everything for us.
That's
dedication.
That's good.
The guy that usually sits in your place is still sitting in Tynecastle, isn't he?
Tied up.
Listen, see if Andy wants to come on this every week. Come and play for a team that wins every week. Just sign for
Peterhead. Superb, Simon. There you go.
That's a rocket science, is it?
You don't even
easy for me, man. I didn't even worry about coming on here. We're flying.
We need Andy back. Didn't we, Simon? Missing him? Aye, missing the boy. We know he's as good as you, but it's it.
Is that 2 weeks in a row?
2 weeks
fucking
in a row?
Fucking hearts are having a shock. I've paid Andy's no better going in media work at it.
I know, every Saturday you come in, checks, goes, ah, for fuck's sake, he's not coming again.
We'll see Andy.
He's going to get sacked for hearts, he's going to get sacked for one goal. He's fucked.
Here's a big question for you. I'm going to ask the two of you. Who's better looking, Andy Halliday or Kyle Hutton?
Oh,
Kyle Hutton, full head of hair, that's a must.
Yeah, how is Andy's hair looking? I know
he's
got the whole
shape.
Fluffy.
Because he's
got the hat on all the time.
Fluffy,
yeah.
Andy's
yeah
as well, what, about 5'6"?
What
are you, 6 foot?
6 foot. So I've got the height, so.
6 foot with the
I think Andy can go in the foot, can't he?
Aye.
Andy can
fight. Big boy.
Would you be willing to fight Andy for a place on here, Hutch?
He's hard.
Would you be willing to fight Andy for a place on here?
Live on this?
Yeah.
Go for it. Set it up.
He'd beat Andy Hart.
What about Willie? Did you see, do you know Willie Gibson offered Andy a square goal last time?
Aye.
We played Hearts again, and the Queen of the South tweeted saying, "It appears Willie Gibson's just offered Liam Boyce a square goal." He just want to fight everyone.
They're all petrified him at me or the Hearts boys.
Willie Gibson's want to fight everybody but can fight anybody.
No, oh, Willie, I think Willie
can fight
it.
Willie.
Willie?
Aye, can he go? Aye.
I think he might come on, like, no chance.
I played against him once. I thought you squared up that.
Was he?
You used to square that?
Mm-hmm.
Did you go for it?
I shot yourself. Hey, God.
Wait, one, lad. Shit myself looking at that. Sorry, Steve. Yeah, that's my only joke of the day.
No, don't be sorry. Don't be sorry.
But what about that? We job for the trains. You can boy, Huts can get us on. It's a good number.
I'll get
you.
You've got to see something here.
No, I'm not sure.
You've got to see the ghost trains there for me.
Well, how is it? Is it good?
It's all right, mate, aye.
You've got a wee train bed in the house and that, haven't you?
Mm-hmm. So off David Gormley. I still have Gormley, so. No, it's good. So I've been there for, what, 3 years or something now?
Have you, right?
So I'm good.
Champions League on the trains.
On the trains, some drop, isn't it?
No,
Champions League. No, I drop, mate. It's called being humble.
Oh, superb.
That's it. Love him, humble.
Man. That's it.
For the family, big stuff.
No, it's good, but it's good.
Thomas the Tank. You like a wee Thomas the Tank?
I love a Thomas the Tank.
Good.
I'm half of maybe further now.
Are you half of Thomas?
Right, okay. I don't enjoy him anymore.
No, what are you doing now?
No, I'm just into, obviously, meeting up with people like me.
Right, we're going on to Scotland, lads. Two draws. Is it two good results, or Kev should be doing better?
I think, Simon, Austria, I don't know what the big fear was over Austria. Right? They've got some good players, but so have we.
Yeah.
I genuinely believe that at home, we should be looking to take the game to Austria. And I think it's as if we were waiting for them to do something. And then when they scored, I think we were fortunate with the two goals that we got. John McGinn, brilliant finish. You know what I mean? Obviously, he said afterwards he was just trying overhead kick because he genuinely thought he was offside. But obviously, there's a purpose to that. But
so wait, his head, Tony, he's just put his head back and it's that heavy that he's fell back, isn't it?
It was his arse, man. I was surprised he didn't get his sail back.
How big's his feet?
Oh, wait, mate, we went up to see him Monday. His feet are like that, aren't they, Slim?
Biggest feet of all time.
Big feet.
Mate, honestly, massive.
Is he?
Feet,
aye. He's just a freak.
Sorry, Kev, I was just wanting to talk about
his feet. In terms of the goal Handley scored, obviously it's poor defending.
It's a big head,
and when he's running with that head, that's a fucking hammerhead. Good finish. But I just think that when we took the game to them and started pressing them in places, they looked uncomfortable. And I think if we'd have did that from the start, a bit like we did against Serbia to actually get to the Euros, we took the game to Serbia and controlled the game, dominated, pressed it, and it made it easier for us. Whereas these last two games, I think we've sat back, and I don't think that really... That's Steve Clarke's management style, but I think we've got players that can go and press, because I think if you look at the equaliser last night, that was us pressing high up, put Shea Adams in, and obviously Ryan Fraser, great finish, and I just think we look back. A draw in Israel would have been a good result had we beaten Austria at home, and vice versa. So, no, I just think that...
Charlie Adams was good up front, wasn't he?
Charlie Adams.
Why has he never played there before? Why is
I'm surprised, but it's a late years. He's later on his career, do you know what I mean?
Just move past. Usually people go back the way, though. Charlie's.
He's a clever player.
Yeah.
Isn't he?
No, he's good.
And they should have called him up, I think. Probably shouldn't
you
have.
You didn't want him called up.
Sooner for that position.
Seen him play.
I'm talking Charlie Adams.
See, now that you've seen Charlie Adams play, would you go back on your claims that we shouldn't have called him up?
Hey, why did you not want him called up?
No, listen, not at all.
No.
Let's stick to what we thought.
Not at all, listen. I was all for it from getting called up. No, listen. It was just a wee bit more of Portis, fuck me. Shankland and who's the Hibs boy?
Nesbitt.
I thought they maybe shot, but listen, watched them last night.
He's a different level, isn't
he? Tell you about Simon, movement. You get great movement. Clocked that. I know a lot of people in the game watching that can clock that. That's if you played the game at high level.
So that's only probably you that's noticed that?
Yeah. No, a lot of people. Listen, the average punter, average fan wouldn't have seen that. I certainly did. Simon, his link-up play, he looks quick, he looks strong. But no, a lot of people get. He's good on the ball as well. He's seen that for the goal. Was it a pass behind him? Aye, it was, but it was still vision. So I think he's going to be the main man, Hutts, for Scotland going into the Euros. I don't think now...
Ahead of Dykes, then?
I think so, Hutts. I think so. The big man done unbelievable. But Simon, it's like in any walk of life, if somebody comes in better, you ought to up it or you'll not play.
Good.
You know what I mean? And I think he's certainly going. I think he's going to. In Scotland, I think what I was impressed with, they didn't roll over when they went behind. In previous occasions, Simon, with Scotland, if they were getting beat, they would roll there. But as big Kevin said there, they've got the players, I think they can be much more on the front foot.
Do you think Clark will change?
I know you're not showing me, but ask the fucking question. Sorry, super. I just dived in. No, you go, mate, get involved. I like it. I think he has to change.
Yeah. Because to me, that looks like. I know he possibly won't, but to me, I think on the back of qualifying for the Euros, we must have had confidence to go and look at the two games and think, let's get at them. I'd rather not qualify, trying to qualify, whereas just trying to look at it and say, right, if we get a point here and a point there, we'll beat them. Like we're saying now, we'll get 6 points off the Faroe Islands. I said that 20 years ago.
You made an arse.
So it's not easy.
What I would say is,
there's a statue of you in the Faroe Islands, isn't there?
Fuck me.
I love you, didn't I?
That was...
You're a hero there.
You're a national hero in the Faroe Islands.
Faroe Island Viking, they call this.
Was it the Stranraer Shithouse?
Stranraer Shithouse. Was that you called me years ago?
Aye, because they're the big boy lighthouse for the Zenit lighthouse, weren't you? Stranraer Shithouse.
Because we could be lifted. Lifted. Do you know why he's asking questions though? Because he's not watched the games and he's not what me to ask him. So here you go.
Just trying to get my attention.
Do you like jump again further forward? Touches the centre midfield player yourself?
100%.
What'd he give you in the further.
Goal for it.
In the higher positions?
A goal for it. Obviously the goal the other night as well, and obviously he scored a few goals for Scotland, so just the goal threat going forward. I think there's better players in that squad than now that are better sitting deeper and sort of dictating the play. I mean, he can dictate the play, but I think he is more effective further forward, and as I said, we've got players like McTominay and stuff like that that can sort of dictate the play further back. So
Well, we're lucky by the way, because I'm absolutely delighted we've got one of the best young coaches in Scotland who is going to give us a tactical masterclass. What I'm going to ask you, Paul, is what were the benefits last night of going for the 3-4-3 into the 4-2-3-1 in the second half?
Simon, that's a fantastic question.
Right, come on then, come and show us.
What I will say to the viewers, Simon, is there's a shaky horn, which has got to be a bad start. Do you know what I mean? So, Simon, just before we start here, this guy here, do we need him on, Simon?
Who is it, Jack Henry?
Do we need him on?
What's your beef with Jack Henry? Because he's...
Hey, fuck off. Boys, I don't know. I'm gone.
Well, where were we struggling in the first half in terms of pressing him and stuff like that?
So, see, when you sit too deep, right, you allow the other team to play, okay? That's fine because they're going to play it across. That's fine if you're leading. Let him keep it, okay? Are we with me, boys?
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. So when we bring in... Sorry, when we bring
Where
in this, wait a minute, I'm just a wee bit oily, Gaff. That's my right back, right? So we're going to go to a 4, I like a 4-3-3. Simon, all right?
We get high. Scotland went 4-2-3-1, didn't they?
Did they? Correct.
Did you watch it?
No. I did, so we'll go there, look. Just a wee adaptation.
I saw it as a 4-3-3 slinny, right.
So, my whole thing is, Simon, right? See these guys here? These boys, I'm going to get these higher up. Right, I'm just going to get them higher up. Does anybody want to come up and challenge me?
No,
not at all. I'm just going to... I don't like this. Oh,
come on, put another one up. See, that's your 3-5-2 you're on.
Right, okay. Where's he?
No, he's going striker, Slaney. And then your other man's in there as a midfielder. That's it.
Right, okay.
Maybe right wing back up a wee bit higher, Slaney.
Yeah, well said. Yeah. Right, there we go.
Yeah, that's it.
Simon, see these guys in here? Do he enough? Do they?
I think they do a lot.
Do you think so? Man United? Hey, that's what I want you. No. Hutch, no, I'll tell you why. Right, I'll tell you why.
Right.
Because if my full back... Fuck. If my full back's got the ball here, right?
Yeah.
What the fuck's are two balls in the pitch for? Right, if my full back's got the ball, Hutch, okay? If he's got the ball there, I want my... High wide,
right?
Okay, this guy in there. What does he do?
Drops.
And then what does that create in there?
We've got space.
But okay. What about does the defensive midfielder? Oh,
does he shift?
If the ball's on this side, I'd expect my defensive midfielder to go and take up that space.
He comes there.
Yeah.
And Simon,
what does that leave
here? Space.
But then the other centre midfielder, I would want him in.
He drops in there, didn't he? What does it create in here? No, lads, listen. I'm going to come back to the tactics board, right? I'm going to come back.
It's just a wee taster.
I've just seen how I felt up here in front of people talk, because it is a nervous hang, isn't it? We've seen Steve Clark today, did it? He's great at it. So, no, what's my main thing I always talk about in coaching? What is that again? Simon. See here? that's where I'm back to see you. In there. And how do we get in there? Do you know what I mean? You must get making runs in here all the time. And if it's known, Kevin, that's when you drop half and play inside. Okay, boys? I'll be back for round two.
Well done, Stevie.
That was a clinic.
So bad.
The coaching clinic. Good start, Simon, for the Monday night football for Aurora. And remember, Gary Neville's a bag of nerves.
Yeah.
This is the first time we've got the tactics.
We'll look back on this in a year's time and we'll see you giving masterclasses.
But what I should have done was Stevie Friel help us out. Do you know what I mean?
He was a bit quiet there, Steve. I was hungry.
Don't know why he was quiet. I think he was looking for food. All
right. Are we still following?
We'll go for now.
But Kev, for me, the 3-4-3 needs to go. It's not a system that works.
The problem is, Simon, when you play one up front, for me, with the 3 and the 4, whatever it is, we sit back too deep.
Yeah.
So he becomes too far isolated. And what I noticed last night, I was going to go to tap this board there. Go on, get up.
Oh, here we go.
Yeah!
In the second half, right, what we've got is, right, so you've got Adams up here and you've got, it was Armstrong and Christie come on and McTominay. So when we've got the ball here with O'Donnell, McTominay's coming here, too close. What I'm looking, so when he receives that ball, all he's doing is coming back here, too far apart. So what we're needing to do is get McTominay a wee bit higher. So when O'Donnell, Tierney, Roberts, whatever's got the ball, he's receiving it in an area where we could at least get into their second half. And that would allow our lot to push up a wee bit. I just felt that he was coming. First game against
Austria,
he was brilliant. But last night, he was like, whenever it was there, he was just there and he couldn't get on it. Then as the ball would come along here, he would just move and... Obviously, that's the thing, but I'd like to maybe see him there and maybe just try and put him a wee bit higher so that he could receive the ball higher up the park that would allow him then to get turned. Whereas I thought every time he came short, it was just going straight back, just popping things, and it looked all right, and help Shea Adams get the team up the park.
Yeah.
We couldn't do that.
Do you know what, Kev? I watched Brendan Rodgers exactly that.
Here we go.
What you've said?
Here we go.
Says to me, don't want centre midfielders coming towards the ball. You've just said, want them to take it on the back of their opposition player so their first touch is going to be right, you're a genius.
When see O'Donnell's got it and McTominay's showing, so if Stevie shows there and the defender's up, the midfielder's marking him, he can only go there. Whereas if he could get there and just maybe like pull off, maybe he could turn 1-2, he's in there. Now we're up, we're all squeezing up. But whereas I just felt that it was too square sometimes, where we were just like looking at Hutz, there you go, Hutz, it's back, right, okay, I'll move over here.
And playing that 3-4-3, it's hard.
It's hard to get the space. But then surely the other boys, the Christie and Armstrong or Fraser, they've then got to go further up the park to allow.
But do you think the whole 3-4-3 comes back to having tried to get Tierney and Robertson?
It's in the same team, you're right, Hutz, definitely.
It's always coming back to that. It's always going to come back to that.
Now, the one guy who did stand out over the two games for me, Tierney, is an absolute monster.
World class, isn't he?
He's world class.
This season he's just in a different level completely, isn't he?
It's
frightening.
He's running by big international players like the wee guys, just bashing them out the way.
Even going forward, and sometimes you think right with the left back position, you're like, is it taking a bit away because Tierney could be there? But even seeing that the three centre halves, almost Tierney can still bomb on, which gives you, but then sometimes you think, would you like him in that final third?
Yeah, but because see when he bombs on, that's alright, but see when he gets to a certain point, teams that are well set up, they'll shuffle across and stop that, but see if he gets the ball high and he bombs on, he's putting crosses into the box. That's why he's
and there's always the thing that Robertson is obviously better than him going forward, but seeing Tierney this year with Arsenal, his assists and stuff like that for him, he's been brilliant.
He's an animal.
Before we move on, is there anything you want to do with anything else with the tactics board?
Why don't we make a run there? And why doesn't he not make a run there? And this left back, tuck round there. And this right back, tuck round there. And then drop in there. And then final one, shoot in there. Sorry, boys. That was an old John Hughes one, wasn't it?
John Hughes. John Hughes does that on the Aggie, does it on the A-license, the boys.
It's magic with John Hughes, isn't it?
First, Sean, has he got the balls to go and stand up at the tactics board, what do you think?
I'm going to say no. I'm saying there's no
I'm going to say no.
Can he show us anything but...
Oh!
There's a leg movement there. He's thinking about what he can say.
But as you know, I've not watched the game, so.
But we should just show us something.
You're defossing the game, Kyle.
As in,
on the game, what do you take?
What do you think Scotland could get better at doing that to help them progress
in that formation?
Aye.
Would
you change formation?
What would you do with Scotland?
What would I? Oh, you're putting me right in the spot here, man. What would I do with Scotland?
Do what you want to do up there, big stuff.
Well, the 3-4-3 bit the windy.
Right, so what are you want?
Come on, move.
Show us a formation back that Scotland could play. That's what the next question is, right? Based on the performances, show us what your Scotland team formation
based
would be and why.
Based on the performances that I've not seen, right?
Is it what?
No seen them. Based on the performances that I've not seen, right?
Right, let's go.
Feels weird.
You need to hit me at the personnel lads. Right, so it's a 4 at the back.
Okay,
three's gone.
Is it right back? Oh, he's on.
It's going to be a
four. Oh, that one. No, he's fucked it. There's enough players on there, big
there's
man.
There's enough players on there,
I just drop him in. There
so
you go.
Get four.
Bet you never thought you would be this.
No.
Last night with the text game.
No.
Oh, oh, no!
He's sliding his fingers on. Right, so. Right.
Oh.
Let me.
What's you up?
So, obviously, it's O'Donnell.
Yeah.
Right. Sent Henry.
Henry.
How's he been? Oh, Stephen Hendry's boy.
Stephen Hendry.
He's got a beef.
How's he been?
Aye.
Is he alright?
He's good. He's very good.
So you go Stephen Hendry in there?
No, what's he doing? Jack,
Jack Henry, right. But who next time?
Who's the other partner that played him?
Hanley.
Hanley's a big man.
Done alright.
Alright.
Norwich captain, championship.
Big call, Tierney.
Wow.
Big call.
Okay.
Aye. Big call. McTominay.
Yeah, but you've got Jack.
You putting them that close to you?
No, no. I'm trying to think.
Now you've got Jack, McGinn, McGregor.
Is McGinn got in the
Paul
hole?
Payton.
Has he got that in it? Has he got that in him? McGinn in the hole?
Do you think, seriously, Sion John McGinn, would you play him a 10 or would you? I like him coming for deeper, no?
Then I'd prefer him higher up.
Aye, same.
Aye, I'd put him higher up.
No, I'm going. This is just right. Dykes and Adams up top.
All right, so you're like 4-4-2. Mike Bassett. Mike Bassett. We're going 4-4-2.
Hey, we need the points. So
we're getting popped in the middle. I'm telling you now, we're getting popped in the middle of the pitch.
You think
I
so?
I can't watch it.
No,
we're getting popped.
Adams has got experience, so he'll drop in.
All right, so you want one in, right?
Okay. Aye, so he'll drop in. They're like attacking. Hey, tour him up. Simple 4-4-2.
Perfect. If he wants to hit that 40-yard switch move pass, we can all move over as a team.
Exactly. There you go.
Aye, we leave that, as Slaney calls it, space, we leave that space.
Yeah. That's
hurting us, you move the boys there, you know what I mean?
And if it does ask, that, how do you, in possession?
I don't know.
So in possession, is he playing as a 10 or is he going up and playing against the centre-backs?
In possession, no, he's up.
As a 2.
Right.
Up
right.
As a 2.
And how are we getting up to him?
How are we getting out? Can you start the ball back at the goalkeeper?
It shows how we're working out up to the 2.
Yeah, honestly.
The yellow ball kit, it's on the pitch.
I can't believe this, man. Honestly, they've absolutely done me.
No goalie.
You've killed the goalie. Yeah, I'm not the other place here.
No, you're doing well. You're doing well.
Right, there you go.
Go. We've got it. Right, so what he's asking?
How are we getting up to the strikers?
Marshall, bang. No, kidding. No, Brave, split high and wide. Here.
Superb, big man.
If we want.
Where's your team in the play. Two centre backs are splitting it up? Where's your two centre midfielders going?
Well, one, and it's like rotational. He comes, can I get it? Boom. Rotation. Rotation right. Side, you know what I mean?
Good, mate. And are you wanting your wide players in or to stay high
I'm
and wide?
I'm totally regretting playing 4-4-2, to be honest.
Quite like that. No, you've absolutely done me.
3-5-2.
Aye, maybe a 3.
Aye. Well, aye.
By the way, Deeks phoned me Saturday night. Missed call for Derek Riordan after your interview in it. So I don't know if you've got your motor, mate. Did you get that back? Also had a few wee things, a few boys that have been coached off Drew Todd at college as well.
Drew Todd? Legend, is he still coaching?
Still coaching. I can't believe you never... Was he not Rangers, the famous coach, Willie? Old Willie?
Willie?
He's always going about with two balls under his hand.
I don't think... He might have
been there. Maybe you were before your time, Willie Pearson.
No. Flecky knows him, though.
Flecky knows him, Willie Pearson.
No, I don't
got a picture of him there, Willie Pearson.
He was cracking with him. See, with the two boys, he was great.
What was the two boys?
Two boys.
I'm mad, no, I don't know.
Everybody get
how does that work every time, man?
I don't know.
Right, we're on to Scott Brown. He's away. I know we've been speculating the last couple of weeks, but he's away at Aberdeen.
Heartbreaking.
Hutch, you play against him?
Couple of times.
Horrible to play against, isn't it?
Horrible. Horrible.
Mate, he's made of metal, man. See, when you used to kick him, he used to hurt you, one of them.
Aye.
What's he say?
Aye.
Said the last time. Gave me the DD and that.
Oh, so you did the
DD. So. No,
did
he was good.
Drogba,
nah, Didier Drogba. So, isn't he? No, great servant for Celtic he's been. Obviously away to Aberdeen. Strange one, I thought.
Mm-hmm.
When it first came out, I wasn't sure he was going to go for it, but obviously it's came about and he'll go there and it'll be interesting to see how much he plays or if he takes more of a sort of...
He'll play, mate.
He'll play.
I think that's why he's been there, eh? I don't think he likes. See, people saying he wants to play go and play 1-4 or 1-3 for Celtic next year. Well, do you need to hate that?
See, no. Listening to guys like, yeah, remember Jamie Carragher said when they get offered that coaching home kind of play, you guys don't want to go and play a couple of games here and there. They don't
kill
want
them. Uh-huh.
Playing like there is almost like the cup game to rest players.
The jobby game.
So see, can I just see on Brown, is he just, I trained him, but see, playing with him, remember you, I love your story you said about the joke.
You had a joke. Five just, up to a joke. Just constant. See, every time you took a touch, mate, he was there.
Was he?
Horrible. Mm-hmm. But no, just there, mate, I'm talking about there, like, bang.
Was he?
He had an arrogance about him, he was confident. Like, confident in his own ability. So that when things were being popped about, and you're that team, because you're always that team chasing Celtic when Parkhead, and you'd go and they would just pop it off you, first touch, round the corners, and you're like, oh my God, give us a break. You could never get close to him when you were that Joey team going to try and do a job at Celtic, but... Mm. Nah, like Slaney says, surprising that he's called it early to go and do a bit of coaching. Because Scott Brown's at an age where he still can play 30-odd games a season.
Yeah, definitely.
He's not wanting to play one in every four or five games at Celtic, so I can understand it that way, but I just think watching the Old Firm game the other week, he still has a lot to offer.
And do you know what? I'll suit him as well. See if you put McCrory and Ferguson in the next time, playing in the three, I think that'd be a right good midfield for Aberdeen next year.
I thought he was spending a coaching job at Celtic. Thinking, oh, didn't he get offered it or something like that? I don't know.
He's the man in the
room. I don't know. I find it strange, to be honest.
Is it the uncertainty, Slaney, of...
Who's coming in.
Yeah.
And if they want him.
If you want him. You don't want to be that guy that's just got a job because you're part of the furniture. You want to get in there and I would say, earn your role. So if he goes to Aberdeen, does well.
I like that with Bruni, though, Kevin. Loads of other players would have just went, but he's going to go away and prove
he's going to go away, continue playing. Hopefully Aberdeen and Stephen Glass and them can start, maybe try to rebuild and have a bit more of a challenge this season towards other things. They've been poor, we can agree with that. And if he does well at Aberdeen, there's always going to be that role back at Celtic somewhere.
Is he
down
the assistant manager?
Assistant manager.
So what happens?
Is he an assistant player?
So see if they're doing bad and they replace the manager. Would Scott Brown then come with him? Is that, what do you think about that?
I've not seen the contract, mate.
Potentially, because did Aberdeen know he like a split manager many, many years ago? In the 80s, did they like
no,
jockey
scones? No, it was Liverpool, Roy Evans and Hulley. But his mate, Roy Evans. Aye.
But if Scott Brown's playing every week and the manager gets sacked, then does he come out?
No, he'll stay.
Nah, he'll stay.
Aye.
He'll stay.
Though
I would
think so.
Yeah, you'd imagine so.
But... Scott Brown was the winner I knew about my time at Celtic was up, eh? When he came.
Did you?
Well, I was out for 2.5 I was doing well and out for 2.5 years. See, when I came back, obviously, you're not the same sort of player when you've been injured that long, you know that. Remember, Strachan put us up to the team in the first team and was up against Bruni in training, and I was like, ah, miles off this. I imagine
players that's playing every week in the first team still say the same.
No, I know, but I'm just saying, like, the tendency that he could play it, mate. It was even every day in training, it was like, fuck me, this guy's never tired, man. I was fucked after 5 minutes. He was just relentless, mate, honestly.
Do you know what? I think Tierney's learned a lot from Brown.
Definitely. He's like a carbon copy, isn't he?
Yeah.
And that's what Celtic are going to miss. He's a massive influence on young players. I don't care what anyone says. See, coaches and that, mate. All right, taught me a bit, but it's always older players that I took the most for.
And good about changing them
and
all that as well.
How they were the changing, how they trained, how they played. And I think see how the Instagram post that everyone put up for him? All the young players tells you everything, doesn't it?
What a massive man. Respect. Like, he's... He went to Celtic, 14 years ago for £4.5 million for Hibs. And that then was a big fee for a young Scottish player to go for Hibs to Celtic. But to actually go there and live up to the potential and the expectation, they thought, Gordon Strachan signed him?
Yeah.
So Gordon Strachan obviously saw something in him then. To actually go there and fulfil that and much, much more in terms of trophy success and everything, speaks volume of the character within him, because sometimes you get that big move and you think, that's me, I've done it. He's actually went on and...
And he's sort of changed his game over the years. Because he was like getting forward in his early part of his career.
He's got a stolen motor at the start of his career, wasn't he? Just run about.
Because obviously Tomo used to say that, and that he was always bombing forward and stuff like that. And obviously over the years, he's got a bit more discipline.
We're lucky we've got Gordon Strachan here. What did you see in...
Great mentality, Simon. Very handsome, isn't he? Sexy Brown, isn't he? That rugged look, isn't it?
Is that what you'd go for?
Like that. But see, on the... does he sit well with me, Simon? He deserved the 60,000 fans.
Yeah.
The proper goodbye, what he's done. To leave in this way...
Again, it tells you everything about him, though, mate, that he didn't even need that.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
That's why he's done what he's done, Simon. Exactly. Do you know what I mean? I think it's... that's what set your mentality, and that's what I've always thought. See, and I think he'd be the first to admit it. See, technically, the players in that in midfield that's come in, Celtic, is technically better, but his mentality is just a different level, isn't it? Mm-hmm. And I think that's what separates the best, Simon.
Mate, you're spot on. Because I think as a captain, it'll be nice to boys that come in centre field, but that thing he's got is you're not playing ahead of me.
Yeah.
Aye. Well, Robbie Keane, he had a podcast or something, he talked to me up.
Did he? Mm-hmm. Did he? Talk to him?
Mm-hmm. Robbie Keane said he was brilliant. As you said, mentality and stuff, and he says that he could have been done to England, played in the Prem, no bother at all. He says he was surprised by how technically he was good as well. Because he's not really known for his, how good he is technically.
No.
He's not really known for that. He's always known for, obviously, high energy, getting a bit, but technically, he's very, very good as well.
You'll never replace him.
No, never. Especially in the modern game, there's no players like that anymore, is there?
You'll never replace that guy.
That thing I told you, the Nguemo story is unreal. I couldn't believe it.
Was that one?
Mowbray came in and signed Nguemo. Bruni was injured, I think, when Nguemo first came in. Mate, Nguemo was brilliant. See, when he first came in, you think, this guy's a proper player. Remember him, we sent him in fielder? French boy, mate, honestly, he could proper play, fit as fuck. You were like, oh, wow. Like, what does this mean for Bruni? Because Bruni, he was like, Bruni's position, eh? Mm. Bruni'd been injured for like 2 weeks, 3 weeks at the start of pre-season. And Tony Mowbray organised a bleep test, and Bruni only trained like 1 day. And it was Bruni and Nguemo the last two in it. And Bruni obviously had the training, you could just tell that Bruni was not letting Nguemo beat him, man. And Nguemo was fit as fuck, and Bruni just kept going. You could just see it in his face. Because everyone had been talking about this guy, how good he was, and Bruni's like, I'm going to fucking show you, man. And beat him and kept going for like two or three runs after it. It was like, wow. See, watching it, it was amazing, eh?
Mm-hmm.
You could tell that he was proper fucked, but he just wasn't going to let him. Let him beat him, and like you said, that's what he's got in it.
I think he'll be with, I think when seeing it comes into coaching and management, I think we're brilliant because when I seen him, he knew who he didn't just go about shouting at everybody, Simon. He put his arm round ones that needed it. Do you know what I mean?
Did you get the arm round you?
I get sent up to my room one time, but it was
what?
What?
No,
tell us.
Oh, a headline that is. What happened? What you doing?
This was actually a lovely story for him. I went away with the first team. And my head had been fucked, Simon, as you know.
Yeah.
It's no change. So been completely gone. And I think he was aware of it. And all the first team boys were like, get up and sing, because it was my first time away. Simon just put his arm around me, did that to the boys, enough. Put me up to my room. But as in, so I didn't need to sing.
Right.
But it was a wee touch of class, Simon, of the boys.
You noticed the situation.
The boys are fragile. You recognise
that. Recognise.
And I just, he didn't need to do that, a guy like me turning up.
The people that you obviously know a bit, and his teammates know him. But there's another perception of what the fans think of him. The away fans and the people that don't really know him, they think, oh, he's this, he's that. Scott Brennan will be fine going forward, I think, career-wise and future in terms of coaching, because that mentality that he's got will never wither, he's had a right bit of stick off at Aberdeen fans over time playing for Celtic. The time when he got tackled and he went up and he gave it all that, and the abuse he took. To actually go and sign for them, knowing that he might not be the most popular signing, tells you a lot about that guy. He's determined to go there and be a success, or going to try and do whatever he can to be a success. So for me, hands up, fair play, and wish him all the best, because like what a career.
He's an animal.
But all the Aberdeen fans that are coming out and saying that we don't want him, I mean, like, deep down, they'll know it's a good sign.
Great signing.
They'll know it's a great signing.
Yeah. But I see what you said about the Celtic fans, most players, I'm waiting for that. He's not about that, isn't he, Simon?
That's no. He's not a badge kisser. He just does it on the pitch.
He does it for his team.
But you're lying to everyone. I think he's a bull and shouter, but even me and Gowser, remember we made an asset in America. Paul McGowan at Dundee, tried to stick... Bruni was a captain, tried to stick the knot on him.
Who? Paul McGowan
tried to stick the knot on him? And I was doing stuff to him as well. Like, us two were a total disgrace. And like Slaney says, you could have just went through us, mate. But the next day, he's like, oh, lads, I've done that a million times, man. Don't worry about it. Total squat. He could have been a prick, mate.
Which a lot of people would have said. Like, imagine your players would have.
Mate, wouldn't I spoke to you again, eh? But he was like, don't worry about it, I've done it a million times.
Ah, I see.
He gave us a wee message, I know, about he's proud of us on Open Goal.
Did he?
Aye, so he's very proud for me sending you up to your room, you know, sailing at the Hydro. Well done, son.
Super.
Lovely touch.
That is good.
What a man.
Aye. And he gave my father-in-law his jersey for his 60th as well. We played him that game 5-0. Gave us his jersey after it signed, that gave him it. Good guy. And, you know what, he doesn't care about getting slaughtered on it either. I like that about him as well. Mm-hmm. See, now modern day players, if you slag them on a podcast or something, pure take it to heart.
Aye.
Whereas he wouldn't.
Yeah, grow.
Nah, wouldn't they, boy?
It's a dying breed, isn't it?
Aye.
Right, we should start outing the guys that the day slaughter and the messages privately to say oh, why you're saying that. We should start outing them.
Why would you care what we hang out here? You're fucking off as well, aren't
you? It's not as if we know what we're talking about.
I've always said that.
You've just seen that. You've just seen the shambles in that tactic for me. So anyone that takes.
Who are we telling anybody that these mail? Well, you can't still watch us in my face.
It's a guy who's stealing my car, man. Why do you care what
I know.
I always say, if you get a problem, you say. We'll tell you where the podcast is and come and sort it out that way. Come straight to me and say what you've got to say. Do you know what I mean?
Is that to everyone, eh?
To everybody's got a problem. Right. Do you know my worst fucking thing in the world? People tell people what to do. I hate it, Si.
Oh, like, why don't you do this on the podcast? Why don't you do this?
Aye. Just shut the fuck up and do your own thing. Mate, I've always... Listen, no, but even in any walk of life, when people tell people what to do, I mean, I seen a boy coming out at H&M, and he was wearing a wee fancy blazer. Listen, he looked terrible, the young boy, right? And I did, listen, but his buzz like, you're not wearing that. And I was like, just fucking wear it, like, be your own man. I mean, but that's a terrible example, but stop telling people today, concentrate on your own fucking prophetic life. You know what I mean, Si? Do your own thing.
Brilliant.
100%, Si.
Thanks. I hate people telling me what today. You know what I mean?
Brilliant. Thank you.
Who's that blazer? Okay, but he's been good today.
Captain for next season. Hutch, you'll know me, but I'll tell you about who's next Celtic captain.
Nah.
Just Kev, next captain. We get a beat McGregor, won't it?
Nah, no chance, Jane Forrest.
Right?
100% it should be.
You'll need to come off that 12-year sponsor silence for James Davies.
What a captain that would be, won't it? Just silent.
McGregor must be the standout. But I don't know, is McGregor vocal?
I think he is. Tierney said he was, didn't he?
I don't know him, so.
McGregor will be there, I think so, mate. Do you know that?
Potentially could
go on, gaze a wee bit into that. Who do you think you'll go?
Well, if you're looking at the players that sort of. It's going to be a sort of big change at Celtic. You know, a lot of players will leave. He's one of the top players, and there'll be a lot of teams. There's always been Leicester floating about him. That's always been the sort of runner. But I don't know the type of boy he is, if he wants to stay at Celtic for the rest of his career sort of thing. But if he wasn't that type of boy, then you'd imagine that he maybe would
want to leave. Perhaps it might be down to who the manager is that comes in.
Yeah.
Do you mean?
Why?
Edward Howe would love
McGregor.
Callum McGregor, wouldn't he? He's an Edward Howe boy.
How about Sam to Roy Keane, Jesus?
He's in a dark room somewhere, right? shouting at himself, man.
See, on the Roy Keane thing, like, I obviously spoke to a lot of boys that played with Sunderland at the time under him, and they say he was one of the best managers I've ever worked under. Like, completely different to the TV Roy Keane.
Mate, he done some job at Sunderland, by the way. Took him to the bottom of the Championship.
What was he like as a guy at Celtic?
Mate, do you know what? See, in training that, like, he could be fucking horrible. Like, he could end you, man. But see, outside it, he was bang on, yeah.
Was he?
He used to come up to the gym, sit with the young boys, tell stories about Man United. My mate got fined for drinking at a youth team Christmas do. And I think he was just turned 18, so he was legal to drink. But we were told not to drink, but obviously we drank. And it came up on the receipt. So a couple of the boys had to come in and work over Christmas when everyone else was off.
Right.
And they got fined 2 weeks' wages. And Roy Keane found out about it. He says, what's this we were talking about the table? And he says, what happened? And we told him the story. He's like, no. You're 18. And boys are like, he's like, no. He went and got the money back.
Wow.
He was proper bang on. See, with young boys and that, mate, he was good, eh?
Aye.
But then you think, oh, he likes me, and then you get to training, mate, and he would just slaughter you for like 2 hours. Like, he fucking hates me, man. But no, mate, just what I'd have been done properly, though.
Aye.
But no, you can, like, see, like you say, there's a good side to him.
I spoke to Stephen Elliott, and he says, Kyle, I says, he is one of the best staff I've ever worked under. He says, just like, if you can get him on your side, he will look after you. And who knows? It doesn't matter who Celtic's going to have. There'll be questions asked, why him or why this. It just, they need to get him in. Whoever they're getting in, it needs to be soon.
The thing they're like, he's made for Celtic, but isn't he?
Aye.
Winning. Mm. He's a winner his whole career, captain, leader, take on the pressure with Man United. Yep. So he is exactly what, but it's whether he's got the man management side, is, and that's the most important thing when you've got players to deal with.
Is this modern day footballers, not
yeah. Aye. Would you not like him?
Aye, no. I wouldn't mind him, but obviously it's the whole.
If you don't like him, it's fine. Huh?
I know, but like being a winner's not enough in the modern day game, is no. It? You need to be good tactically.
And, uh-huh.
Would he be too much, but with sort of the footballs and this sort of
I would imagine, I would think so for the outside, but I'm not.
That's a whole chart, though, isn't
it? You need to be in the inside, don't you?
Somebody was saying to me, like, oh, he might be changing, he'll pick and choose when he can crack. But see, when you see him in the studio, he's not even watching his own teammate and he can't bite his tongue.
You can just
imagine him getting so angry.
Had Jamie Redd, remember Jamie Redd in that? Fighting with him? Yes,
phoned his dad, didn't he, after that? His dad had come pick him up, didn't he?
And then he had a go, didn't he? His dad, Keane slaughtered Harry Redd, but I know, shocking.
Brilliant. Right, here we go. Brazilian football. only one managerial sack in a year. They're going, I know you're going to, because you've said it before, innit? So the Brazil, there you go, the biggest nation in world football are listening to me.
Is that one sacking per club or just for the season?
So one manager you're sacking per season in your club, Kev.
Good shout that, Stevie.
I've always said that I think, I would say that you can date the transfer window, January transfer window or the summer. That's your time to get a new manager in. I think so. I don't think it's mainly against, if, for example, if you've got a Diddy as a manager and he's playing every team, getting pumped every week, and then you sack him, get a new manager, then the other team's playing him is an advantage. So, no, listen, I think they've ahead of the game once again. I mean, ahead of the game all the time.
Kev, you?
I quite like that idea. Right. Because, like anything, it takes time for change to actually work. You can't just come in and, like, sometimes, if we look at the example of a new manager coming into a new club, sometimes you get a kick out of players and they win a couple of games, and the David Martindale 14 games unbeaten,
14 whereas
Tommy Wright comes in at Kilmarnock and didn't quite get that same reaction. But now he's got them in Kilmarnock, he started picking up points. So I just think one manager a season, because does clubs really change a manager more than once anyway? But
well, seems to be all happening more often now, doesn't it?
Aye.
100%. And listen, there was bad blood between you two at Rangers, so go on, you go. Tell me all about it.
Was there bad blood, eh?
What's up? What's the fuck?
Did you ever come to blows?
Who cares what I say in this podcast?
Me, him, and Nazy were going like a house on fire.
Darts, wasn't it?
I looked after the boys.
Was it, did you play darts? Was it naked darts? The top was darts?
The shark up there.
Is that you?
You used to play darts, too. Four in the afternoon, and Christy and Kenny McDowell would come down just in a bathrobe.
Honestly,
in a bathrobe?
Just to play darts with us. Kenny would come in with the bathrobe and they had tassel shoes on, the slip ons.
Christy would play darts in a bathrobe?
Christy would come down just be, he'd come down and play darts all the time, wouldn't he?
Mm-hmm. Him first start is throwing the robe would fly open.
Kenny McDowell still hit his old Porsche.
No, it was the Jag.
Was it?
The Jag. Remember the Jag?
Coach.
Coach.
Aye.
Did you ever argue it in Houston?
No.
Did
you ever play Doug with Kenny?
No, I didn't.
Never played Doug? You're trying to be like 2 hour sessions. And see, sometimes, mate, the Doug would be that good and that fun that we'd play Doug for a full 2 hours.
It's the best Doug.
So you just keep it up. Kick it to each other, and if you drop it, it's a D. And if you drop it again, it's a U. And then a G, and then you need to add to a Doug. Mate, we done that with Alan Thompson. Never forget Alan Thompson. On his hands and knees, acting like a dog, pretending to piss on people too. One day we played it for tours, mate. Was that good?
No, killer. Was it not just killer?
No, no, remember we used to do the wee, like the square, keep the ball, and then they would do the letters. Remember, Janty used to join in as well. Yeah. That knee, he couldn't move, but could still keep the ball better than most of us.
I'm better.
Brilliant, mate. I love Doug.
No, remember Red Ass? I know.
Red Ass was good.
Red Ass.
I told you that. So one day we played that for a false training session. Well, I got a tattoo on my arse. The day before, I think it was the first game of the season, mate. Massive game. And Danny Wilson spent an hour and a half playing Red Ass on my arse.
Because you had a tattoo on it?
Because I got a tattoo on my arse. They shaped just Red Ass for an hour and a half.
Well, you still got that tattoo?
Still got it, mate. It needs to go.
Are you going
to
get it out?
When now?
What shows it?
Are you allowed to? No. Hutch, what are you thinking with this one managerial sack in a year?
Tell you what, man, I'll be happy with it. Gary Neville.
Oh. Mate, what about him, by the way? Slaughter's teams for sacking managers.
And then he does it.
I don't
know. Who was it? Danny?
Richie Bellins.
Richie Bellins. How long was he in for?
I guess because he tried to play 4-4-2, man.
Gary Neville. Signed Adams and Dykes.
So who have they had? Graham Alexander.
But they don't just
win a cup. Took over for a bit and then Richie Bellins.
They don't just win a cup.
Yeah, he won the cup. That's right.
So, no, I agree with that. I'm all for that. Decision, I think.
I'm against this.
Why?
Are you?
Well, see these clubs. See, they get relegated. Loads of fortune. So, why are they not within the rights to sack a manager if he's not doing his job?
But then, my argument is it's only players. Can the players just do it then?
Because I know, but you can't sack the players, can you? So, but I'm saying from an owner's point of view. See, if I'm an owner and the manager's not doing his job properly, I'm sacking him. See, if I'm a manager and I'm not doing my job properly, I'm expecting to get sacked.
But do you not think that would be, you know, how, like, you get players right and it's not going well and they start to think to themselves, he'll get sacked soon and I'll still be here, and they start down to him.
That's just the way it is to me.
That's what I'm saying. But with that rule, you might not have
might change
anymore.
It. That's a good point. That is a good point.
What a point.
But then it might not. But what if it doesn't change it and you're only stuck with one manager?
But that's due to the owner's bad decision, appointing.
Yeah.
That's a good point as well.
Mm-hmm. So
you've appointed him as putting the managers out there. I get what you're saying.
Because let's be honest, you must have been in teams where players are going,
He'll get sacked soon.
He'll get sacked soon. That'll be soon.
But I'm just saying, like, see if you drop for the Premier League to the Championship, the money you lose is
unbelievable.
We still do the contracts.
So from an
Arsenal's
point of view, I can see why they would.
Well, you look at Palace with De Boer. Remember his first seven games, he didn't win. He had to get in it. So if he had that situation, Palace would be doing it. Maybe he'll get back.
Good example.
Thanks very much, Kevin.
That's a good example. Because that was early on in the season.
Yeah.
But then the argument is, the way he was trying to play, if he maybe go to January, would that have then turned around? I don't know. But I don't like it. I just never sat well with
it. But you would have known if that
was the problem is the finance of football now is so high and important, and that's across any league, even you, Sir Ali, or Peterhead and stuff. It's a business decision. It doesn't become a
football. Yeah, that's what football is.
It's a business. It's a business decision.
You any stories at Rangers when you were there? Proper man, big names.
Please. He's just done an interview. We should go tell a story. Like
your story. Throw something under the bus.
What was your story you had about?
I think
Nasey. There must be stories about Nasey.
He was bonkers.
No, it was a story about you were wanting to know Davy Weir.
Davy Weir.
What
McCoy's.
He was doing in that toilet that day.
Aye.
McCoy's Roborn, was it?
McCoy's Roborn. It was a chicken noise coming down it.
Mind the story we told the train guy.
Oh, I remember that. That was brilliant. That was amazing.
But we were on the train
at the fringe,
right? Austria, and the conductor guy came on and says, "Hey, good to see you, lads." Like, aye, aye. And says, "What side went? What about the story Big Kev heard in the toilet one day? Charles Green and who was it? Craig White." Big Kev was doing a shite in the cubicle, and the next cubicle was Charles White and what do you call him? Craig White.
Charles Green and Craig White
were talking, and we started telling the story. The guy bought into it. And he was going, "Wait, I go text my mate."
Text my mate.
Oh,
no, scary.
But as you said, Nasey, he's off his
number. Was that Cal Nasey?
Cal my fan.
We need to get him on.
How many?
He's flying, mate. He's still in the Championship, isn't he?
Played it half.
Is he plays it half?
Set half. So he played set half off for Wigan, and then he got moved to Luton, and left at back three.
Where does he fit in that?
He wouldn't play for me.
No.
I mean, there was talk they were looking into him at Scotland. Swear to God, you look completely shocked at me. For
I'm completely shocked. No,
what was Cal Nasey like? Just no bothered.
It was funny. It was just one of these, like, he'd go in train with the first team and all that. And what was he like? He would just be like,
he'd sit on the bench, right? And he would say to the gaffer, while on the bench, "Gaffer, you need to get me on. I'll go in there and score two."
I love that.
I love that as well, man.
He would be joking.
Everybody knew he was like, obviously, so if somebody said that, like somebody else said that, you'd be like, "What's he talking about?" Because it was him. He'd just laugh and he'd go out the first team and that. He'd be like, "Boy, just give me the ball if you want to keep it. I'll keep it ticking you under that." Why are you guys?
Mate, that's probably why he's went and had the career he's had, isn't it? That sort of belief.
Aye, apparently, aye. Because he went away down to Accrington when he first went down south.
I think I played against him at Accrington, that's right.
Aye, and he wasn't really enjoying it. And then he go in for the Portsmouth and worked his way up and he's at Luton, he's loving it. Aye, but remember he went loan to Partick Thistle? And it was a complete and utter disaster.
How?
So I spoke to Jackie McNamara. It was after I'd been there and I was like, "Jackie McNamara, Cal Naismith, Matt, and he wants to get low and that, good player and stuff, like talking him up, Matt." And Jackie was like, "Oh, brilliant." Aye. So he brought me in, signed him. I was like, "Look, Cal, I've sort of bigged you up here." Uh-huh. He's like, no, don't be daft. And then he didn't play a game and his head went, he was on the bench and that. And so him and Coley went as well down Cole, and two of them started mucking about and Dane stuff and all that, and then it came out after the game. He got worked into Jackie McNamara's office. He says, "Cal, the club photographers just came in and showed me this." Cal's like, "Oh no." So obviously the guy's been taking pictures of the game, and Cal's doing the corner, then a heat stand. He's awesome.
But while the game's going on,
these other fans were giving him abuse. I showed them that and they had to send them back to Rangers.
There's
so many stories today. They've done hundreds of things, and that was the final straw.
Amazing.
That's amazing. What a boy.
Right, bit of sad news, lads. It looks like Marco Van Basten's back on the drink. He said that the offside rule should be scrapped in football. He's had, do you know what he's had? He's had a week like you had in Holland, didn't he?
Lost the plot. It's weird that, man. It would be unbelievable viewing that. Do you remember school? You had a wee fat guy eating his fucking wrong sausage going at the post, just tapping in and you're like, "You're poaching fat bastard." Remember that?
Oh, that's not right to say, but Kev, that'd have been a dream for you, young man, wouldn't it?
Fuck, mate, I used to park the bus in at that 6-yard spot, not a problem. I'm here. He's needing me, I'm in here. No, I don't. There must be some thinking behind it, but it's a bit madness.
What, the offside thing?
You can't, Marco.
Actually, for that?
No. That is one of the craziest shouts I've heard in a long way. And I've heard a lot of crazy shouts, mind you.
He says it should at least be trialled.
They should.
What do you think the score would be if it was
amazing? It'd be unbelievable. It'd be mere goals. Wouldn't it? Or else you'd have a team completely parked right in the line. Wouldn't you? Because you've been debating to put the...
But what do you think's going through his head?
It must have been in Amsterdam. Must have been.
What would your tactic be on the board for the offsides?
Do you want to do that?
No, because I don't know what to do.
You and Flecky.
What can we talk about? What, it's you and Stevie's got something to say.
No,
about
it's
it.
Flecky.
Oh, Flecky. Flecky.
I'd be honest, just having a keep.
What would you play?
You need your goalkeeper to be so high up so that
just leather it.
He stops the ball getting to that player.
But you know what would end up happening? The team that was attacking would just, if somebody stayed up, they'd just go 1v1. Imagine it was like 1v1 like the 18-yard box. Mm-hmm. That's what we'd do.
Is that crazy a shout? You actually don't know.
Mate, it actually would be quite good viewing for
it. It'd be amazing. They should date one tournament, shouldn't they? Mm-hmm. We should use it in that, like...
In a total cup or something?
Aye, something.
Who's
like
the goalie for City?
Ederson, mate.
Imagine him launching Diags one-on-one with the goalie.
Yeah.
It'd be unbelievable. I think football, for the last few years, has been boring. It's like teams get the ball, the other teams sit half. I always wanted... You have to keep three players in their half.
Opposition's half.
I always thought that, but then I don't know if that's almost like NFL stuff and all that, the rules and shit. But I just think it maybe create attacking football. I don't know. But
I used to love Yogi. Used to put three up defending corners. I loved that. I used to sometimes sit and wonder if I would do that. So when you're defending a corner, you keep three up the pitch.
Did it? Uh-huh. Well, you may as well, because like, see your wingers and they can't hear the ball.
No one hear the ball. Yeah.
The thing is, if you put three up, three here to go back,
they need to keep
so
four back.
So it's the same like for like in the box anyway.
Yeah.
That's a decent shout.
But seriously, though, like Van Basten's family, somebody needs to go and check and make sure he's
on. So you know me, he's high up in the game, but isn't he?
I mean, he was the technical director of FIFA between 2016 and 2018.
He obviously got the sack, so that means he's...
I've seen that.
Aye.
But even like the guy Blatter and all that have got these jobs, they're all screwballs, isn't it?
Aye, he's just been done again.
He's been done again, hasn't he?
Remember, he fell off the stage. You remember that video?
Cunty right off the stage.
That's true. He's walking, mate, on a big hole field, didn't it?
Who in Scottish football would you like to see on the FIFA board?
Dick Campbell
would be brilliant, mate.
Unbelievable.
Nah, what would you think? What rules would he bring? You need to get your arse slapped before every game.
That's a must.
You need to go with a red raw arse, didn't you?
See me walking at the tunnel. A guy just be a whip. Up our arses it. I'd love to be here. I would love to do that job. Isn't it? Imagine me standing there. Come on.
Who else would be good? Scottish football? Craig Brown. We need to get Craig Brown on it.
Craigie Brown.
He'd have Johnny Machines in the changing room, wouldn't he?
Craigie Brown.
Imagine he came out of the changing room inspecting it. See if they were in.
You got a £3 coin, mate. What for the guys? unreal. Boys, that's us.
No way.
Giza song for your debut.
Giza McCoyst, when he's not. Giza song a minute. Giza McCoyst, who gave me one player, he went right through in the change room one day. Remember anybody got it tight?
I've never seen.
Remember, we all got it tight when we all went out after getting beat after the United and that.
Did we go out?
Cup game? No, you didn't.
He was in the jet.
I've never had one night out. It was the Christmas night out.
Just you in the jet.
That was it. That was the only time he's went proper right through me.
So where did you go?
So I played Dundee United in a sort of cup game. And we all decided we'd get beat, battered off. Dundee United, I think, John and us own. John Daly scored. And stupidly, big Kyle Bartley. He's back up.
Well, big Bartley, isn't he?
Aye, so he was back up.
Taking player?
He was just solid, mate. Just at that time, he was just up. Just solid, big boy. And he was back up and he's like, come on boys, let's go and all that. And I can't, I just get beat up Dundee United, but you know, it's like slowly but surely you start talking yourself into it. Come on, it's all right, no, it's just give him a football, it's not in the world, we'll just go and I'll be fine, that nobody will know. Straight out, first pub we went to Strata, me and big microphone head, as you call him, big Pez. Stunning. Next minute you just hear this sort of chatter behind you, and then that's it, the abuse starts. Rangers fans, disgrace that you're out. But anyway, should obviously have been him, didn't he? Ended up in Sugar Cube till God knows what time. Then 2 days later, back into Murray Park, Gaffer calls a meeting. The usual shout. Right, boys, I've got a list of names that I know.
Murray.
We're out.
It's the worst thing.
So, just own up to the noon, I'm thinking, not that chance. I'm putting my heart up. Oh, I'm bluffing. What's he talking about? I'm going, not a chance. I'm putting my hand up.
Did you put their hand up? Anyone?
Nobody.
Did they not?
Nobody. No. And then, so he's like, I'll leave you to think about it and I'll come back in. And he's walked in, he's come back in. He's like, right, boys, own up. Next minute, Airdy. You Fraser Airdy.
Did he put his hand up?
Shite bag. Okay.
Dirty. What are you doing? I'm looking at him disgusted. I mean, and he's going, right, come on, you're not just letting your one teammate take the fall. And I'm
imagine Airdy on his end, that'd be brilliant.
You're not letting your one teammate take the fall. I'm going, I am. I'm not putting my hand up. But then one thing led to another, and it came out, and he sort of had an idea anyway of who the boys were that used to go out. So he just sort of kept looking at me. Anyway, just waiting. I just went, aye, Gaffer, I was out as well. And then the rest of the boys were out and it was just us left, and I just seen a different side to McCoy's that day. I cracked, just out of disgrace, especially after Dundee United.
Because you never invited them for that.
So I made up with him, but so we went and got game of darts and he stuck his robe in that one, so we're all right after that.
Perfect. Lads, that's us.
No way.
What else you want?
Do you think Andy's in danger of losing his spot?
No, a big Andy.
Hits is the man.
No, I've seen Andy's. Top
good.
Notch. I like
him.
He
speaks
well, doesn't he?
He done it
to
yourself, the service, mate.
Oh, you're
brilliant.
Do you mean his spot on here or his spot at Hearts?
Oh!
He played actually well. He played Saturday.
Did he?
Set up one of the goals, aye.
That's what he did. I seen he got an assist.
But Hearts are just limping over the line, aren't they?
They're 13 points cleared, though.
The cups, but they've done what they've said today. Get back in the league, so relax yourself.
I know.
He's done an interview
before,
he's good interview, but he wants to come on the podcast as
well. That's Peter doing it.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Welcome back to Two Judgy Girls. I'm Mary from the Bay.
And I'm Courtney from LA. TJG is the podcast where we spill all the tea on your favorite reality TV shows, celebrity gossip, and everything in between. We're here to bring you our unfiltered opinions, hilarious commentary, and plenty of laughs along the way.
We're two SDSU Delta Gamma sisters with a microphone and a whole lot of opinions. Each week, we dive headfirst into the wild world of reality television, from Bravo to all the trash TV you could want. We break down the drama, dissect the latest scandals, and share our thoughts on everything from the jaw-dropping moments to the embarrassing antics.
But that's not all. We're not here to just gossip. We're here to connect with you, the jurors, and share our love of all things pop culture. Whether we're dishing on the latest celebrity breakups, discussing our favorite guilty pleasure movies, or sharing embarrassing stories from our own lives, we promise to keep it real, keep it fun, and keep you coming back for more.
Come judge with us.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.